want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. We are live and we are broadcasting worldwide on this Sunday edition. I am coming to you via the telephone, and we'll be here off and on throughout the transmission. And David Knight is sitting in the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas. Again, I am on the road today working on a story coming to you from Texas. Again, David Knight is deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, Texas. And we've got a lot of news and information, obviously, to cover. I'm not just going to break down the truth behind ISIS and how this whole situation, this 3-day bombing campaign that's continuing, is total theater, just because it's big news that Obama is doing a few airstrikes a day, supposedly, against IS or ISIS or al-Qaeda targets. It's more important because it is what I call a Rosetta Stone that we talk so much about, that decodes basically the entire pantheon of globalist manipulation and how their dark logic operates and how it manipulates, where you fund all sides and then gain power by playing the part of the good guys out of the chaos that you help sow and foster and promote. There's a special video report up on Infowars.com that I shot Friday for Infowars Nightly News that's extremely, extremely important. And we're going to be playing some of that report here today. And it will be powerful for radio listeners, but I particularly want to challenge radio listeners to go to Infowars.com/show and watch the video so you can see the news articles and see the admissions for yourself. The title of the video is Obama's ISIS Bombing Hoax Exposed, and it's about 17 minutes long. The video's total 20 minutes, but there's a 3-minute ad or 2-minute ad at the end of it. So it's about 17 minutes long. We're going to be airing that coming up about 20 minutes into the transmission here today. David Knight will also open the phones up in the second hour and get into all the other financial news, the Obamacare news, the open borders news, the attack on the Second Amendment news, and the fact that Nixon, this was the 40th anniversary on Friday of Nixon resigning, and we have that video of his Oval Office television resignation there in the scratchy color video from the late 1970s. So we're going to be playing that coming up as well, or I guess mid-1970s. 1974. We're going to be playing all of that coming up today and contrasting Nixon to Obama, when I have not lionized Richard Milhouse Nixon in any way or turned him into some type of saint. But quite frankly, Richard Nixon was a saint in many respects. I mean, even Clinton, who's horrible, is not as bad as Obama. And we can't just blame this on Obama himself. We would be unwise to do that. The image of Obama, the front man, the pitch man that is Obama, though, has been the most deadly weapon against this country, against the free market, against wealth, against stability, and against any type of future that we've ever seen. And so we're going to be breaking that down coming up here in just a moment. And then I know David, it was funny, when I talked to David about doing the show today, because I was late getting back into town, he said, you know, I'd like to cover Nixon and the contrast to Obama, and I'd already sent the guys Friday night in an email to the producers saying, get these clips of Nixon ready. I want to cover this. So we're on the same page. We're going to break here, David. What's some of the other stuff you're going to be covering?
Well, Alex, there's a lot of news. There's a Missouri crowd. We had a massive riot in Missouri where someone was killed, very much like the story that was picked up by the Drudge Report on Friday about a guy who was carrying a BB gun in Walmart, a Walmart BB gun he was going to purchase and was shot dead by the police. Now we had a very large riot in Missouri, and Mitch McConnell's wife is actually sitting on the board of a group that's working to kill the coal industry. You know, Obama was supposed to be the enemy of the coal industry. Maybe we've got some Republicans.
If you are receiving this transmission, You are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, there's a lot of really interesting, crazy news taking place around the world. We'll be breaking it all down, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Again, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday worldwide edition. Again, I am your host, Alex Jones. David Knight is riding shotgun with us there in the TV/radio studios in Austin, Texas. And there's just so much to get into, obviously, here today. We have horror at NASCAR as a race car star kills a driver trying to confront him on the track. Shocking video. No criminal charges imminent. I guess the answer is to ban cars. If somebody uses a car for something violent, you've got to convict everybody and not let anybody have cars. That's the gun control argument. We've also got the really serious issues like the imploding, falling border. We've got Obama supposedly into day four of airstrikes on Islamic State or ISIS, who've renamed themselves, formerly Al-Qaeda. We're going to give you the news behind the news, the rest of the story about how that's actually completely staged. That's coming up today. We've got Republican leaders going after the coal industry, working with Obama to shut off half of this nation's power that will totally cripple us when Mexico and China and India and every other country in the third old world is allowed to use coal. We're not allowed to. Cheapest power source out there. It's such a huge issue. That's all coming up today. 40th anniversary came up earlier this week on Friday of Obama's prototype, Richard Milhouse Nixon, resigning. So David Knight is going to be covering that as well coming up in the next segment. Again, David Knight is in studio. This is a live Sunday edition here today, ladies and gentlemen. And David Knight will be taking your phone calls coming up in the next hour. David, that's just some of what we're going to be breaking down. I want to get into ISIS first before we go to the special video report that I shot for InfoWars Nightly News that we're going to premiere here for the radio audience today. But first off, is there other news? I know you've got a big stack of important news you're going to be breaking down as well.
Well, Alex, I think it's significant you're going to be talking about ISIS that Obama is now saying that this fight in Iraq that he's beginning is now going to be a, quote, long-term project. In other words, this isn't something they said that is going to be solved in just a few weeks. This is going to take some time. That's according to Bloomberg. So this is something that is something that's been going on for quite some time. As you point out in the report, we've had this happening and building in Syria as well. And, of course, it even goes back to Libya and back to Benghazi. And you remember after the Libyan war stopped, we had Senator Sessions question Panetta, who was then the defense secretary, as to under what conditions do you believe you can start a war? And they had that very interesting back and forth going on at the time. We're now seeing this happening again. And of course, I think it's interesting that Obama waited until after Congress left so that he wouldn't have to go to them and pretend in any way, shape, or form. You know, Nixon had his secret bombing of Cambodia, but Obama does his things now right out in the open. He ignores the law right out
Absolutely.
In the open.
We have a special report that I shot Friday for the Nightly News that will play on the radio coming up at the bottom of the hour. But I want people to understand something. A, ISIS, Islamic State, is Al-Qaeda renamed. They are the worst of the worst of radical Islamic extremists. They are beheading babies, blowing up churches, blowing up non-radical Muslim mosques. They've killed over 300,000 people conservatively, according to the United Nations. In the three-plus years, they've been attacking Assad. And our government, and the French government, and the British government, and the Qatari government, the government of Qatar, the government of Saudi Arabia, is on record, and anybody can look this up, funding IS, which bordered in Syria, their operations, bordered Iraq. And so here's the issue. These are a horrible group of people. And I said when they poured into Iraq 4 months ago that they had huge convoys of hundreds of vehicles and armored vehicles. Why weren't Predator drones taking them out then when they were attacking U.S. military bases that had been turned over to the Iraqis years ago? Why weren't they being taken out like a highway of death with Saddam's convoys that were leaving Kuwait? Because signed years ago between Iran and Saudi Arabia, the Shiite and Sunnis, to split up Iraq. Islamic State gets a third of it, bordering Syria, to take over part of Syria. A new country is being formed. This is all on record. It's just not on the news. The North goes to the Kurds, and the EU and the Chinese are now controlling that oil to a great extent. It's been carved up. This is what the great powers always do throughout history, different empires. And the South and East then will go to Iran and will basically merge with Iran. So this is a total screw job on the most secular pro-America country, except for Israel and Egypt, in the Middle East. Of course, Egypt is in Africa. The most pro-America regime under Saddam Hussein. He was put in by the CIA in 79. They had movie theaters, rock and roll music, women could go to college, no burqas. I'm not defending Saddam, but compared to IS, he was literally an angel cake. And they have now, after 20 years, destroyed the country, taken their weapons, broken the nation up, and now they're turning al-Qaeda loose to murder everybody. So why is Obama now bombing them? Well, it's very simple. Huge congressional hearings about why was the government openly funding al-Qaeda. That's why they changed the name to ISIS and then IS to confuse people. The military had those campaigns. We can put on screen with Infowars.com saying, I won't fight for al-Qaeda. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz said, we're not al-Qaeda's Air Force, on and on and on. So we have all of that going on. And then there's major heat that our government is actually behind protecting al-Qaeda. Now, al-Qaeda isn't controlled by the U.S. government or by NATO. They fund them. They protect them. They give them the weapons. They make sure they don't get blocked coming into the U.S. by the U.S. embassy. That's all on record before 9/11. It's the same story. It's like a group of bees in a beehive that the New World Order, the globalists, go and throw into countries that they want to destabilize. So it's a real threat. It's a real group. But they then use the threat of this group that they turn loose to take over countries, to destabilize them, and take our liberties in the West via the threat of al-Qaeda, who we thought was defeated, suddenly being allowed to gestate and to grow into this huge force that can now topple a major military in Iraq. It is truly unprecedented. And then finally, they're bombing some old artillery. They're bombing some old armored vehicles. They're claiming, oh, we're protecting minority Muslim groups stuck on a mountain. Isn't Obama sweet? When ISIS is simply trying to go into areas where they've not been told they can have it, and so they're being kept in line to only take the areas mainly where Christians are at to be slaughtered en masse, because even the UN admits the slaughter of Christians by Muslim extremists is exponential, and Obama won't talk about that. He'll just talk about some Muslim minority on a mountaintop, so that's why he's had a few dozen airstrikes that are literally a joke and wouldn't take out a Somali warlord, folks. ISIS is probably 50 to 100 times bigger than some of the biggest Somali warlords. This is totally and completely staged, and probably just like the airlift of evil back in 2001 with the invasion of Afghanistan, totally staged, and they're probably just bombing old artillery and things, as we know they did when they supposedly invaded Afghanistan in 2001. The real Taliban and al-Qaeda were on NATO payroll, were protected, and then flown out of the country, 40-something thousand of them, into Pakistan and protected. That's declassified NBC News, Times of London, BBC. I made films on the subject, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, you name it. So here's the deal. Saudi Arabia is the big globalist ally. They run al-Qaeda. They run IS. And they are working with criminals in our government to empower this group while having plausible deniability. And they bomb, supposedly a couple of armored vehicles and some artillery. And then Obama talks about, oops, a permanent force. They always were going to keep a permanent force there. They never really completely left. And now our own military will believe we're there fighting IS when really we're there to help make sure the country's broken in three and turned over into total balkanization and economic conflict. This is the globalist model, just like they're lowering our borders to balkanize our nation and bring in the North American Union. They bring in super regions, but then subdivide the super regions internally along racial, religious, and ethnic lines. David Knight's coming up. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com. If you're listening to this transmission, you are the resistance. Stay with us on this 10th of August, 2014 edition.
We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in studio this Sunday, August 10th, 2014. Now, yesterday on the 9th was the 40th anniversary of the official resignation of Richard Nixon. And I have before me his letter, and I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. So hang on, this is really long. I hereby resign the office of President of the United States. Sincerely, Richard Nixon. That's all he said. Now, we do have his speech here. We have some excerpts from that. But the thing that I found interesting about this letter, besides its brevity, was the fact that he resigned to Mr. Secretary. Dear Mr. Secretary, he says, to the Honorable Henry A. Kissinger. He resigned to Henry Kissinger, not to the Vice President, not to the Speaker of the House, who would have been second and third in line. No, he resigned to his boss, Henry Kissinger, the man who basically was the power behind the throne, the guy who was calling the shots, I believe, in the Nixon White House. But we're going to look at this. You know, a lot of people are, there's not that much coverage of the anniversary, actually, in the press. I'm kind of surprised with it being 40th anniversary. Maybe they don't want to have any comparisons between Richard Nixon and Obama, because there are some amazing comparisons. Now, of course, Richard Nixon had his secret bombing of Cambodia, but Obama doesn't make any secrets of his illegal bombing activities. He doesn't make any secret of the fact that he assassinates people by drones, that he assassinates American citizens without due process, that he kills their children without due process. You know, because it wasn't just Anwar al-Awlaki, it was his 16-year-old son who was also killed in a separate raid. He doesn't make any issue of the fact that he has this illegal war in Libya. As a matter of fact, they bragged about the fact that they didn't feel like they needed to consult with the American Congress at all in Libya. And now we see that happening again in Iraq. And of course, as this is starting, as we pointed out earlier, and as we're going to go to Alex's special report in this hour, that Obama, talking about this new bombing in Iraq, says that this is going to be a long-term project. It isn't going to take just a couple of weeks. Now, some of the bloodthirsty neocon warmongers are very upset that he didn't give this new mission a special name, that he then went on to play golf. Well, I don't really know what to say about this, because to me, I'm bothered by the fact that they would begin and end the war in Libya with a UN resolution, with a NATO resolution, and that after the fact, when Senator Sessions questioned Defense Secretary Panetta about what do you need to go to war, and he clearly said, I don't really need to do anything other than I might talk to the UN, I might talk to allies at NATO, and do we have that clip? I wanted to play a little bit of that clip. Yeah, let's play a little bit of that clip with Sessions going back and forth with Panetta.
We worried about international legal basis, but nobody worried about the fundamental constitutional
this is Senator Sessions.
Legal basis that this Congress has over war. We were not asked, stunningly, in direct violation of the War Powers Act, whether or not you believe it's constitution. It certainly didn't comply with it. We spent our time worrying about the UN, the Arab League, NATO, and too little time, in my opinion, worried about the elected representatives of the United States. Do you think that you can act without Congress
asking Panetta,
and initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Now, hold it right there. Well, hold it right there. Did you hear that? I mean, I'm amazed at that, just as Senator Sessions was. But, of course, the Republicans didn't do anything about that. That was back, I think, in early 2012 or late 2011. You guys can check the date on that. But nothing has happened in the interim. And so now we have this again. We have Obama waiting until Congress is gone. And as Alex Jones just pointed out in the last segment, we had video of these guys going in convoys on open roads with no air cover, just on their pickup trucks with their weapons and the soldiers hanging off the side, traveling very slowly in single file down these roads. Everybody at the time said, if you wanted to stop this now, you could stop it. And it wasn't that they hadn't done anything at that point. They had already been taking action against Christians, massacring Christians in Syria from where they're coming. There you can see that if you're watching the broadcast on our website on Infowars.com. Again, there's that picture that we saw there. Everybody knew that was going on. That wasn't a classified or secret picture. That was reporters taking a picture of this very long, very, very slow convoy of guys carrying weapons going from Syria, where they had been equipped and trained by the American government, where they had committed atrocities against Christians, very slowly driving into Iraq. This is what we're seeing, and it's a continuing pattern of abuse. And of course, Secretary Panetta says, you know, we don't have to have Congress's authorization to get involved in a war. We need to have that conversation, because not only is this a situation where our government is arming and training these terrorists, and as Alex correctly pointed out, as everybody was saying, we don't need to be the Air Force for Al-Qaeda in Syria, so they changed the name. They rebranded themselves. We saw the same thing happen in Iraq when there were a lot of scandals with the mercenary forces there with Blackwater. Once everybody started talking about Blackwater, and that was on everybody's mind, they changed their names multiple times after that. So after it became very clear to everyone in Syria that, yes, we were, in fact, arming and training Al-Qaeda rebels, and nobody could deny it, and we had people from Ted Cruz to Dennis Kucinich, both Democrats and Republicans, talking about how they wanted us to be Al-Qaeda's air force in Syria. After that became common knowledge and it could no longer be disputed, we had John McCain posing with pictures with these guys as they're training them. After that, they had to change their name to ISIS. But of course, they're not going to do anything to put up any real resistance. And Alex is going to cover that. But I want to talk about, are we really better off now that we got rid of Nixon? You know, everybody wants to talk about Nixon. They want to talk about how corrupt he is, but they don't want to make the connections to today, to Obama. You know, we can feel very good about the fact that Nixon was taken out of office. And of course, there's some interesting aspects of that. There was a lot of behind the scenes politics obviously going on with that. Deep Throat was the, I believe, number two guy in the FBI. We all know how J. Edgar Hoover knew everything that everybody was doing even before the NSA was watching everybody's email, listening to everybody's conversations and recording them. J. Edgar Hoover had a pretty good bead on men in power. That alone is one of the reasons that we need to stand down our intelligence services, make them follow the law, make them not get into a situation as one of the presidents said, J. Edgar Hoover knows everything about us. It was Truman who said that. He wants to He's got stuff on everybody in power, everyone in Congress, implying that he even had stuff on him. So the number two guy being Deep Throat, feeding this information to a couple of rookie reporters, that raises a lot of questions as to really what was behind maneuvering Nixon out of office. But it was also a period of time, I think, when the law was taken a little bit more seriously than it is today, just as we had one time a constitutional amendment to have alcohol prohibition. Nobody bothers with any constitutional amendments to prohibit anything today. They just do whatever they wish. That is the law that we have now. We're going to talk a little bit about the legacy of Richard Nixon. Of course, things like the EPA, the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. It's not just the secret bombing of Cambodia. He started the war on drugs. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about what people think about this. But coming up after the break, we're going to have Alex's breakdown of what's going on with ISIS. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com, yeah.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here live in studio on this Sunday, August 10th, 2014. Now, earlier in the show, Alex was with us. He's on the road, and he was breaking down what's going on in Iraq with the Obama bombings, the latest new war that he's starting against ISIS. Is this something that is a reaction to something that's new, or is this something that's been going on for quite some time, as he pointed out? He's going to break that down. We're going to play that report in just a moment here. We're also talking about the Nixon resignation, which was 40 years ago yesterday. There's an interesting story that was up on Drudge today. Public trust in government hits new lows. This is a poll conducted by the University of Michigan, and this is something they've been doing for about 50 years. Going back to the 1960s, they say consistently they found that the majority of Americans thought that they could trust government most or all the time. So that's how you get people like Richard Nixon in. And they said, until Watergate. In 1972, 53% of them trusted the government, always or most of the time. But that quickly switched in 1974. That figure plummeted to just 36%. And except for a brief period of patriotic sentiment immediately after 9/11, it has remained under 50% ever since. Now, where is it today? Well, today it's at 13%. 13%, the lowest it's ever been. So, yes, that's a good sign, I think, because it was Patrick Henry who told us, trust no one, but bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. Obama doesn't believe that he's bound down with any chains of the Constitution. So I want to get your take on this. Do you trust the government? Probably not if you listen to this broadcast. I want to get your take, though, on impeachment. I want to talk about the Nixon resignation, how you see that in comparison to what's going on today, as well as ISIS right after Alex Jones's report. Let me give you that number. That's 877-789-ALEX. It's a different number on Sunday. Once again, that's 877-789-ALEX. Now, here's Alex's report that we ran on the nightly news on Friday about ISIS.
Well, late yesterday, the Obama administration authorized military strikes to prevent what they say was a potential act of genocide against a religious minority, as well as to protect U.S. interests in Iraq. Now, a Kurdish news agency reported that hundreds of IS terrorists were killed in the Pentagon operation that took place there early this morning. Now, of course, the administration has been under intense scrutiny for the president's foreign policy failures, with many people pointing a finger at his decision to pull the troops out of Iraq in the first place.
Earlier this week, one Iraqi in the area cried to the world, "There is no one coming to help." Well, today America is coming to help. We're also consulting with other countries and the United Nations who have called for action to address this humanitarian crisis.
Now, flash forward 2 years, and we see that that statement wasn't entirely true. ISIS has been able to, just in a matter of months, destroy all of the gains made by our troops there in Iraq. And, of course, perfectly timed with Obama announcing these strikes. He goes on vacation. Trust in government is at an all-time low. Only 13% of Americans trust the government to do what is right, always or most of the time, with more than three-quarters saying maybe they can be trusted some of the time, and 10% of the population says the government can never be trusted. Now, this is just, these are insane numbers. We don't even remember a time that trust in the government has been this low. And now we have ISIS, who we've been watching them destroying large swaths of Iraq. They've been all over Twitter showing their beheadings and things like that. And our focus has been on other things, Gaza, Russia, Syria, the border. No one is talking about the literal terrorists that are taking over Iraq. Now ISIS is directing threats directly to America. They say that they're going to raise the flag of Allah in the White House. And then they go on taunting America, saying, don't be cowards and attack us with drones. Instead, send your soldiers, the ones we humiliated in Iraq. See, so they're basically saying, you know, come on with your, don't bring your drones, bring your troops. And this is one of those situations where America can actually say, bring the drones. We've been watching them driving in. But, you know, the president just wants to go drone people in Pakistan and big wedding parties in Yemen. Now, this administration has been itching to go to war, first with Syria, then with Russia. Meanwhile, we have been watching literal terrorists take over Iraq. They've taken over large swaths of Iraq. There have been public executions, beheadings, killing Christians. Why did it take the president so long to say, you know, maybe we might strike these guys? In fact, he's talking to terrorists, saying, if you guys get a little too close, then we're gonna drone you.
We've ended the war in Iraq. I've kept the commitments that I've made. I told you we'd end the war in Iraq. We did.
Remind them that this is the president that ended the war in Iraq.
Joining me now in studio to further break down this current bombing campaign Obama is embarking upon in Iraq against ISIS, Alex Jones.
Leanne, this is one of the biggest stories of our age because it's hiding in plain view. It's even hiding in the front page of major newspapers, but the media won't point out how sensationally evil this is, that the West, the United States, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and so many other groups through NATO and others are arming IS, Islamic State, or ISIS, as it was known. This is simply a branding change from Al-Qaeda, because the West was caught funding them in Syria the last 3 years, to IS. So we're going to show people the mainline documentation that it is our government at the front of the line with France and so many others, England's involved as well, Turkey's involved, literally turning loose a group that is murdering Christians from Africa to Iraq to Syria to Egypt. And now Obama has the nerve to claim he's bombing them. So we're going to break down exactly what's behind all of this. First off, here is a map of the ethnic breakdown and religious breakdown currently in Iraq. You notice the areas in green are Shia. This borders Iran. Iran is a Shia state to the east of Iraq. Then you have this area that's basically a desert, no man's land, influenced by Saudi Arabia and Kuwait to a great extent. Then you have the Sunni Arab group bordering Syria to the west. And then you have the Kurdish area in this area of northern Iraq. Now, the Pentagon, the globalists have been on record for a long time saying that the takedown of Saddam in 1991, the second takedown in 2003, was about destabilizing a stable country and bringing in destabilization forces and breaking the country in three parts. Why is IS now being bombed after 3+ years of being given weapons from Benghazi and other areas by the Pentagon, by NATO, by Qatar, by Saudi Arabia, and by all these other factors to literally kill more than 300,000 people, launch chemical attacks, you name it, against the Assad regime, who did nothing to anybody in Syria? They were allowed to come in the last 6 months, invade Iraq, take major cities. The entire time this was happening, even months ago, the Pentagon would not bomb their convoys with their Predator drones. They would leave them.
All right, so this is Alex Jones on the Nightly News from Friday night. We're going to continue with this report in the next segment. He's going to conclude what he's talking about with ISIS, break that down, where the threat really comes from, and what's behind all of this. Now, we're also got some news that we're going to be covering. We have a riot that broke out in Missouri after a shooting. Essentially, as it was reported by an eyewitness, a young man with his hands up, although he was fleeing from the police, he was no threat to the police, he was shot 10 times and died. There was a huge crowd there. We also have news about the UK border staff are threatening to strike, to stand down, because they said, we don't have any protection whatsoever at the border. Essentially, they are the picket line. If they see somebody coming in, they're sick, as they did a few weeks ago. They had someone come into, I think it was, it's either Gatwick or Heathrow. I think it was Gatwick. Someone came in vomiting and collapsed. Everybody was very much afraid of that. She'd come in, I think, from an area that was suspected. So we see this happening at the UK borders. We see our borders completely open. We see them standing down, and yet we see the rules of engagement internally in the country is being stepped up. We're going to talk about that and take your calls at 877-789-ALEX on impeachment, on ISIS. We'll be right back with the conclusion of Alex Jones's report.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Let's make this a year of action. That's what most Americans want.
Raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt. Nobody is listening to your telephone calls.
The debate is settled. Climate change is a fact. And if people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges, then we're going to have some problems.
What difference at this point does it make?
Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song.
Everything is cool.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in studio on this Sunday, August 10th, 2014. We're right in the middle of a special report that Alex Jones put together last Friday for the Nightly News. If you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please consider getting a subscription. That helps to support our operation. You can share it with up to 12 other people at the same time and have access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries as well as the Nightly News. Now, after this break and in the next hour, we're going to be taking your calls on breaking news like the situation in Iraq, as well as we've got the 40th anniversary of Richard Nixon's resignation. What do you feel about impeachment? It was a turning point in this country in terms of people's confidence in government. I would argue that they were too trusting of government. Maybe it's a good thing for us to wake up and to see that, yes, men can commit crimes even when they're elected president. If you want to call in, that number is 877-789-ALEX. That's our Sunday number, 877-789-ALEX. We'll be taking your calls on those subjects. Let's get back to Alex Jones's report on ISIS.
You remember about a year ago, whenever Rand Paul and others said, we're not Al-Qaeda's Air Force in Syria, just neighboring, that was about our military saying no to openly arming Al-Qaeda. So when the public got upset about that, they named it ISIS, or now IS, to confuse people. But it's the black flag of Al-Qaeda. It's the same people. So why are they bombing now? Two reasons, then we'll go over the proof. Number one, Obama and the globalists are getting a lot of heat for openly being behind radical Sunni Islam with Saudi Arabia that is financing the entire destabilization so they can take over. And they're the big Western ally and the most radical form of Islam and the people that reportedly attacked us on 9/11, if you believe the official story. So who do we attack on 9/11? Do we attack the Sunni country that supplied 15 of the 19 hijackers? No, we attack Iraq with a secular leader, formerly CIA, put in 1979 during a more reasonable policy of stabilization of the region. Though they moved to destabilization and had him attack Iran in that seven-year war in the 1980s. So it's an ongoing destabilization campaign that gets more and more morally bankrupt, more and more evil. Now, first off, he has to act like he's getting tough on these terrorists. How can they take our rights away when our own government is funding Al-Qaeda? Change the name, turn them loose, the public's not buying it. So now you bomb some limited areas up here because they had seized some infrastructure, some oil fields run by the West, and had seized some dams. They want to break the country in three parts, the Shiite area, then you've got the Sunni area and the Kurd area. That's always been the plan going back to 1991. They had to get the country broken down first, deindustrialize it, get rid of the central government in Baghdad to do that. So ISIS is supposed to only come in this deal that's been signed with Iran, that's come out, to where they permanently get this chunk of Iraq and the oil. The Kurds get this chunk and sell it to the EU. And Saudi Arabia and the West get this chunk to now break the country in three parts. Now, that's stated by the Council on Foreign Relations, a segregated or divided country. That's a British model of control. That's a fact, not my opinion. But on CNN and Fox News, you'll never hear any of this. It's just, we're bombing Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Aren't we good? Now let us take all your rights away. When they brought them in to begin with, to bring down the country. So this country has been targeted by the West for deindustrialization, population reduction, and destruction. A crime against humanity, a hardcore, long-term war crime. That's the big issue. Now, it's not just about the destabilization of Iraq. It's also about using this new Al-Qaeda Islamic State base here in Western Iraq to continue to split up Syria and other surrounding countries. They've even got ISIS now attacking groups in Western friendly countries like Jordan and other areas. So this is a double cross of everyone, a completely devilish move. Now, finally, let's move to some of the documentation. Leanne McAdoo has some of the mainstream media articles right there. ISIS fighter claims Turkey funds the jihadist group. Well, there's no claiming about it. They have giant training camps there. There's another, London Independent, Iraq crisis, how Saudi Arabia helped ISIS take over the north of the country. Let's move on to the next story here. Another article out of Business Insider. ISIS is likely receiving funding from people living in countries allied with the U.S. It's not likely. It's been on record. This group was armed by the West, by NATO, trained by British commandos in Syria, and then ran back across the border to start this takeover. American allies are funding ISIS. No, America's doing it. What do you think Benghazi and the Stinger missiles were about? And the headlines now that they have them that we predicted. ISIS trained by U.S. government. Another article. And John McCain went and hung out with them, with the leaders of ISIS a year ago. And now they've been handed all these oil fields that they supposedly run, but that oil companies are going to buy the oil from. Can't have any sanctions on ISIS. So the only reason they're being bombed is because they're not totally run. They're protected. And they're like demons you release into an area to destabilize things. They get greedy and start grabbing more. That's when the bombing starts to say, no, 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 can't have those Kurdish oil fields. No, 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 behave yourself or the predators are coming. This is managing evil in just a cauldron of destabilization. Let's move on now to the next stack of news here. Again, Obama is being heralded as finally taking on ISIS. If you go back and look at the airlift of evil that happened back in 2001 that our own military told us about, they didn't really attack the real al-Qaeda or Taliban. They would bomb conscript 12, 14-year-olds out in bunkers and in ditches in front of the advancing NATO and U.S. coalition forces. Then the real al-Qaeda Taliban would be waiting, turn themselves in to be paid in gold, loaded on C-130s, 40,000 of them, and flown to safety in Pakistan. So again, Obama is doing this to distract the public from the fact that the West is actually bankrolling and protecting ISIS, and they're doing it to let them know who's boss and keep them in line, because all these groups hate each other. This is just like what Clinton did when it came out he was lying about Monica Lewinsky and other scandals, bombing an African aspirin factory that turned out had no connection to terrorists. So it's also a wag the dog scenario. And I mentioned that airlift of evil. There's the NBC News article on it. The Times of London reported on it and many, many others, where, again, they took the real Taliban and al-Qaeda force, brought them into Pakistan just 2 months into the Afghan war back in 2001 to start the terror networks up again and then move that proxy army to the next area. I want to get Leanne McAdoo's take on this before she continues with the news. And then we're going to go to a clip of a piece we did last year by Rex Jones and Rob Dew, Terrorist 101, to explain how this works. But Leanne, I get so excited when I talk about this because I've been studying it for more than a decade. And it's hiding in plain view, but the media uses the relative complexity to confuse the public.
Right. Well, we're funding them, training them at secret training bases in Jordan. And then, like you said, they're kind of slapping that no, no, no. Obama comes out yesterday almost gently saying, well, we're going to airstrike you if you move too close. You know, just it's like, no, you're talking to terrorists. This is when you should actually be a president and talk tough. But he's like, well, we're going to do this humanitarian strike. And it's like, this is the one time people say drone them. You know, they're sitting here basically saying they're going to be flying the flag of al-Qaeda at the White House.
That's right. They said they're going to blow the White House up, hoist their flag, all this. And Obama's like, I'm going to nicely stop some of you, because they are his allies. And he's forced to basically do this to his own minions because so much exposure is coming on this. And there's a lot of sick people out there that says the end justifies the means. We've got to control these countries. No, they're bringing them back to the Stone Age and putting people in charge that murder Christians en masse, publicly eat hearts, and are now cutting the heads off of babies and releasing the videos themselves. So this is the worst scum of the earth who is used as the threat to take our rights in America, and our scumbag government is funding these people. This is outrageous, and we've got to get the word out on it. That can stop this crime. And they're killing nonviolent, non-radical Muslims en masse, blowing up their mosques, blowing up churches, killing hundreds of thousands of Christians, and nothing is being done. And the system thinks we're so stupid. And as you said, they have bases in Jordan. They have bases in Western Iraq that the Pentagon let them have. They have bases in Turkey. It's come out. And now they're even starting to attack places like Jordan that are their allies. That's how out of control they are. But see, the Jordanian government can now use these guys as an excuse and as a pretext to take Jordanian liberties, just like they can take our liberties here as well. Let's go to that report, Terrorism 101.
All right, we're going to be right back after the break, and we're going to have your calls, as well as we're going to talk about, get your opinions on what Alex just said about what's going on with ISIS in Iraq. Where did this threat come from? What should we do about it, if anything?
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on the second hour of Sunday, August 10th, 2014. Now, we're going to go back to your calls in the next segment on ISIS. We just had a special report from Alex Jones, as well as he joined us at the beginning of the last hour, talking about the escalation now that we see going back in Iraq. What's really behind this? Why is it necessary for us to do it now? Why didn't they do something earlier? What was going on in Syria as we saw Al-Qaeda being rebranded, being re-equipped, being retrained as ISIS? All that's in the special report. You can find that on Infowars.com. But I wanted to go over some breaking news in this segment about what's happening today on Drudge Report. We have a Missouri crowd. We had a shooting going on there yesterday. There was a black teenager who was killed by the police, who was shot 10 times. Now, the police are saying that they suspected him of shoplifting. This is a guy that his family said had never been involved in any fights, was not a part of any gang, had never been in any trouble. He was being arrested, and according to the police, there was a struggle as they were putting him in the police car. A single shot was fired, and then he ran with his hands up. Now, a witness, and then he was shot 10 times and died in the streets. In the aftermath of that, there were hundreds of people that took to the streets, and they were shouting, "Kill the police," very angry, as this grandmother who was nearby, he was on his way to her house. She said, "My grandson never got into a fight. Even he was looking forward to getting on with his life. He was on his way. He was ready. He had graduated from high school. He was beginning college in just a couple of weeks." The question is, when you look at this, when you look at the rules of engagement, of course, there was the story on Friday that was on Infowars.com, picked up by Drudge. Walmart shopper was shot dead by cops after he picked up a BB gun. This is a guy picking up a BB gun in Walmart that is sold by Walmart. He's walking around in Walmart. And of course, this soldier, I think it was a Marine that saw him, thought something was up, called the police. The police come in and shoot him dead right there in the store. I mean, that's what we're seeing now. This kind of zero tolerance of citizens, almost kind of a Judge Dredd kind of violence where, hey, this guy is walking around with a gun, I'll shoot him dead. This guy is running from us, he shouldn't be running. As the police chief in Ferguson, this is Ferguson, Missouri, said, I wouldn't think anybody would run away from the police if they didn't have anything to hide. And of course, we've heard that here from our own police chief who says, hey, you know, just don't ever run from the police. Well, when we see this kind of violence happening in the streets, especially when young people who know what's going on in their neighborhood see this kind of thing happening over and over again, the question is, what did happen there? Well, we're not going to know for quite some time. Photography is not a crime got involved in this. Of course, Carlos Miller, and the reason he got involved in it was because the primary witness who got this on film on her camera had her camera confiscated. And then the police have said, this is going to take us a very long time to do this investigation. It's going to take weeks for them to, as long as 6 weeks, to determine whether or not this young man had alcohol or drugs in his system. Why would it take that long? I don't think it takes that long to do an investigation. I think they're waiting for the people to die down, the anger to die down. And there's also a report that's up on Drudge Today. Report says that robots will take over more jobs than they create. Now, this is a conference that's being held in Elon University in Charlotte, North Carolina. And they asked the people there who are experts in robotics technology, did they think that there would be more jobs created by these robots, or would they take jobs away from us? And they were pretty much split 50-50. 52% said that they thought they would create more jobs, but 48% feared that the role of artificial workers would be unstoppable, that humans would not be able to adjust in time to avoid massive unemployment and social disruption. And they point out that the experts are saying that by 2025, notice that number. You keep hearing 2020, 2025. That has been on the calendar of the globalists for a very, very long time. They keep sticking to that number. They're saying you're going to have driverless cars, robotic doctors and nurses, and intelligent digital agents that are going to be part of your daily life. They're going to have some radical change by then. They've been playing that for a long time. That is why they are stepping up the police state internally in this country, because they're concerned about the unrest. Stay with us. We'll be right back with your calls. That number again is 877-789-ALEX.
Sound more like everyone else than anyone else. Clone.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, live here in studio. We had Alex Jones, who's on the road, join us in the last hour, break down what he sees behind what's going on in Iraq with ISIS. And we wanted to get your calls, let you weigh in on that. We also wanted to get you to weigh in on what you think about corruption in our country today. Now, 40 years after the resignation of Richard Nixon yesterday, what do you think about corruption? What do you think about impeachment? Is that something we should be pursuing? Of course, Boehner announced that he was not going to pursue impeachment. He had no intention of doing that. As a matter of fact, that was all just a plot from the Democrats that was hatched in the White House. They really want the Republicans to impeach them. So what do you think about that? Should we give amnesty to the undocumented worker in the White House, or should we go after corruption and breaking the law wherever we see it? So I want to take your calls on that. And, of course, the Sunday number is 877-789-ALEX. I'm going to go to RJ in Oklahoma in just 1 second. But before I do, I want to let you know that this hour of the Alex Jones Show is brought to you by Survival Shield X2. Harvested more than 7,000 feet below the earth, escaping Fukushima's ground effects, it's 50% stronger for the same price as Survival Shield. And that's the original iodine supplement that we had for our listeners. It's a high purity source of 99.99% pure grade. We're the only one in the world. Extremely hard to achieve this. It's great for a survival kit due to its extra strength. And you can get it in 5 and 10 packs. That's at InfoWarsStore.com. That's Survival Shield X2. Let's go to RJ in Oklahoma. RJ, you want to weigh in on ISIS and what's going on in Iraq? What's your thoughts on this? Okay, I think he's gone now. Let's go to Brad in Louisiana. Brad. Hello, guys. We're having some phone problems here. Not getting him there. Okay, let's go to David in Austin. David. Okay, looks like the phones are not working. So let's give you some news about what's going on with Ebola. We've got warnings, panic, and all over the country. We've got all over the world, I should say. It was just a week or so ago that we had someone get off of a plane in the UK at Gatwick Airport. She'd been vomiting on the plane. As she got off, she collapsed. Everybody was concerned that perhaps it might be Ebola, even though they didn't see blood. So everybody was panicked. We see that in Saudi Arabia, they had a suspected Ebola victim. They tested them. They did not have the virus. We see the same thing happening in Hong Kong. Somebody was suspected of having Ebola. They took them away. However, these incidents show just how easy it would be for someone who did have Ebola to enter the country via the airplanes. And so workers in the UK who are manning the border, who are at the airports, are very concerned about this because they're the ones on the front line. They're the ones who are going to be exposed first. They're essentially, you could say, the canaries in the coal mine. When you start seeing the border staff dropping over, dying in the airport, then you start quarantining that area. But they don't like being the canaries in the coal mine. They said they're terrified. They're threatening to strike. They said that... These are staffers at London's Heathrow and Gatwick Airport. They're furious that no measures have been put in place to preserve their health. Well, guess what? No measures have been put in place to preserve our health either. And they're bringing in people into this country who are sick rather than sending the treatments to them. If you remember when John Bowne went to the border and reported on that, Falfurrious was the area. He had pictures of people that had died on this rancher's large ranch there, decaying bodies, various states of decomposition. They were talking about how it was breaking the budget of that city to even bury everyone, let alone provide medical treatment. They had a lot of people who were bitten by rattlesnakes as they were coming across, and they said it was costing them a fortune because they were having to fly in anti-venom from another location because in the small town they don't have a hospital that has rattlesnake anti-venom there. So the anti-venom itself is expensive, and they had to fly it in. But of course, that was cheaper than flying these people to wherever they would get that treatment. And of course, it is much easier if you've got some kind of a treatment, you think, for Ebola. There you can see, if you're watching this live on Infowars.com, you can see some of the slides, some of the pictures of the decomposing bodies, some of them just left as skulls out in that area. A lot of people are dying coming across there. That's why it's so amazing to hear this narrative that it is simply eight-year-old children holding their teddy bears, as George Will told us. That is not the case. The young people who are coming across, even if they're escorted by a parent, that ought to be treated as reckless endangerment. But of course, they're giving that a pass. But the point I wanted to make about the Ebola connection is that why would we spend the money to try to fly these people back separately in quarantined airplanes rather than just send the treatment to them to help them if we've got a working treatment? I think it is there in order to raise panic, in order to raise an alarm. And of course, other people have said, follow the money. I think it was Michael Savage took the position that perhaps they're trying to panic the public and then show or pretend that they've got a treatment for Ebola so they can then go out and force vaccinate everyone. And you don't have to do much to get people scared about Ebola. There's a New York Times article today. The title is, Don't Touch the Walls. Ebola fears infect an African hospital. This is an amazing firsthand account of what's going on in Sierra Leone and in Nigeria. They're talking about how so many patients, nurses, and health workers have died in government hospital that many people in the city are seeing the hospitals as a death trap. So they're avoiding the hospitals. And so what they're doing is they're dying in the streets. And as this New York Times writer, Adam Nossiter, went there and was walking through, a Western medical technician yelled out to him, don't touch the walls, they're totally infected. He said, people don't die here in the hospital anymore. He says, they're dying in the community, five or six a day. And of course, in neighboring Liberia and in the capital city of this country, Monrovia, they said 23 health workers have been infected. The president is calling it necessary for the very survival, he says, of our state and for the protection of the lives of our people to quarantine the area to make sure that this doesn't come across the border. Are we doing that in Western countries? Are we doing that in America? No. Instead, we are bringing people in rather than sending the treatment to them, rather than maintaining a quarantine. Why are we violating all of our health protocols from the CDC? He says, dead bodies have been appearing on the streets and the houses throughout Monrovia. But with the hospitals closed, they said most of the bodies are being found in the streets and not in the hospitals, and people are not dying in the hospitals. So they said it's a very dangerous place. They're washing their hands 50 times a day. And this last quote here from one of the Doctors Without Borders logistician said, there is no system here. There is no isolation. If you make a mistake, you get infected. And of course, when Paul Joseph Watson was talking to Dick Morris on the radio about this, he was saying, well, there's this disagreement going back and forth as to whether or not it is airborne or whether or not you have to have direct contact with the blood. And there's disagreement about that based on some tests that they've done with animals. But of course, when you see doctors and health workers routinely coming down with this, I know it is very contagious and it's very difficult to maintain these procedures, and that may be what's up with it. But the possibility exists that they don't understand how the disease is transmitted fully. Maybe it is transmitted by air and they're not acknowledging that and not guarding for that. Now, as that's breaking, and as we're looking at the possibility of having quarantines and the possibility of having forced vaccinations, this story broke today. This is from MyFox 8 out of Wisconsin. A girl with a sore throat is given the HPV vaccine and dies just hours after leaving the doctor. And they say the only thing different about that day was the shots at her parents. So that's something we're going to pick up with that right after we come back, because there's a little bit more about that. I want to go into that a little bit more, and we're going to try to take your call, see if we can get this phone system ironed out. We'll be right back.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight in Austin, and we're taking your calls in this segment. We're going to be going to Brad in Louisiana in just a moment about Iraq and impeachment. But first, I was talking about Ebola before the break, and I want to go to Rich in New York, who'd called in about that. Rich, go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on. I can't believe I got it on my first shot. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good.
I can't believe that this country would allow for a contagious disease like that. I mean, even doctors have come forth and said, you know, why are you bringing them into this country? You know that most diseases or most infections are spread in hospitals.
Yes. And that's what I was just reporting at the New York Times, is talking about how everybody was so afraid of the hospitals in Sierra Leone and in Nigeria that they're empty. They're saying don't touch the walls, they're totally infected. People are staying away, but they're still dying. They're dying in the streets, they're dying in their homes, but they're certainly not going to the hospitals.
And the first thing, obviously, you do is contain, and the contain is not let anybody in or out of the area. You quarantine there. You don't even have to be a doctor to be able to understand that concept.
That's right. That's right. So what's your take behind it? Why do you think they would do that?
I don't know yet. I'm still waiting. I mean, there's been some people saying, well, this is a big spin on Big Pharma coming up with some antidote to cure it and turning it into a money-making thing. I'm not quite sure, but all I know is that from a medical standpoint, that is not the thing to do, to start shipping people all over the world.
That's right. It's hard to say. We don't really know what their motives are, but we start asking questions when we see them doing things that make absolutely no sense, that violate all their protocols, that violate common sense, that violate everything that you would expect to see with something that is this serious, this contagious. When they stand down, you got to say, well, why would they do that? It makes absolutely no sense. There comes a time at which you got to say, there's something besides incompetence going on here. There's some other alternative motives that are going on, whether, like we said before, perhaps it is that they want to create a panic and sell or force us to buy their mandatory vaccines, or whether this is just as simple as the people here at the University of Texas, the professor who said he wanted to see 90% of the people on Earth die, and he had said that he wanted an airborne Ebola virus, suggested that would be the way to make that happen. So who knows what their real motive is, but certainly we can't chalk this up just to incompetence or something far beyond that. Thank you, Rich, in New York. Let's go to Brad, you've been holding on for a long time. Brad in Louisiana, you want to talk about Iraq and impeachment. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Dave. I wanted to mention the fact that when President Bush, number one, ended his desert war, very soon after that time, there was a squadron of F-16s that were sent into Iraq for the purpose of a bombing sortie, and everyone was taken by surprise by that. I was working for a company who convened a meeting among its data field supervisors to tell us that the reason that this was being done was to destroy a cache of fiber optic cables that Saddam Hussein was warehousing, and that it had to be done so that we could continue to pull up their electromagnetic waves from cell phones and things like that. Now, something like that is easy to understand. What is going on today with regard to Obama is that the job is just too big for the man. He does not know what he is doing. I think that everybody...
You know, Brad, let me jump in there and say, I agree with you. I think it is too big for Obama. I think it's too big for anybody, because we've allowed the presidency, the office of the presidency, to acquire powers that were never intended for it. I mean, we've seen Congress essentially step aside from their duty to try to keep the executive in power, to check the executive, to check the bureaucracy. They have abdicated their power, and we see this power being concentrated. Of course, he's trying to do it with the executive orders. It isn't that we've asked him to do something and he's reluctantly saying, well, all right, I'll do it, but I don't really know that I'm up to it. They are taking this power upon themselves, and that, I think, is one of the most important reasons that we need to follow through with impeachment, is to try to devolve that power. But, of course, the Republicans don't want to see that happen either, because they're salivating for the day when they're going to get their hands on the levers of the dictatorship. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I concur completely. With regard to impeachment, it should have been done before. But the fact of the matter is that I'm calling you from the second most corrupt state in the United States as of a recent poll, So we know a little bit about it here in Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
And we see it at the lowest levels of politics, even at the school superintendent level within a parish. You know, it's something that's inherent with this authority that's given to people. They begin to think that they are thinking for everyone and that the people don't count anymore. It's the people voted me in, so they must want me to make decisions for them. And of course, this is exactly the opposite of what it's all about.
You know, I go back to this article that we had last week. We had, I think it was on Tuesday, we had a fourth hour of Overdrive where we played an interview that Alex had with this Marine colonel from New Hampshire, retired Colonel Pete Martino, who spoke out about the small town that was getting a donation of a giant military vehicle in this very peaceful, very small town. And he said, this is a militarization of the country, of our police, and nobody sees it. But when he wrote this article, when he posted the interview up, we put in an article that he had written just a few days before where he was focusing on the corruption. And as you were just saying, Brad, as you see a lot of corruption in Louisiana, he pointed out that you're always going to have people who are going to violate, who are going to game the system. And so unless you want to see your entire system taken down, you have to kick those people out. You have to take action against them. You have to prosecute them. And that applies whether you're talking about police who are violating the rules of engagement, who are shooting people on the streets when they've got their hands up, to whether you're talking about somebody in city council. That's why when you don't do that, that's why they talk about the fish rotting from the head down. That's the Greek metaphor, the saying that they had, the fish always rots from the head down. When you see Richard Nixon being taken out for impeachment, it was very important for that to be done. It's very important that we do that today. And if we don't do that, we're going to see this corruption moving further down. They get the message that they're not going to be punished. Just as we saw that cop, I think it was a video that went out on Thursday where he said, hey, Obama's violating the Constitution. I really don't care about your First Amendment rights, about your Fourth Amendment rights. Get out of this police station or I'm going to arrest you right now. These people that were going in there complaining about how they were not allowed to film or ask questions in a public housing area, which is essentially public property. And he said, I don't care. We have a president who doesn't obey the Constitution. I, as a police officer, don't have to obey the Constitution. And so that's what he was talking about. When you allow that, and that decision begins at the top, when you allow that to happen, it permeates all the way down. You know, it was Winston Churchill who said when he was talking about the American Revolution, he said, when the Americans got their freedom, that gave greater freedom to the people in Britain because it broke the freedom of the king. So when you allow that corruption to happen, it permeates its way all the way down. We're going to be right back with your calls. We're going to talk about the 40th anniversary of Richard Nixon's resignation as well as ISIS. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Henry Kissinger.
Yes, the only man who's ever taken a resignation of a president, Henry Kissinger. With your crinkly hair and your glassy stare. And your Machiavellian schemes. That's Henry Kissinger. This is Monty Python. That's Monty Python's take on Henry Kissinger, of course, with your crinkly hair and your glassy stare and your Machiavellian schemes. Well, you know, Henry Kissinger just had open heart surgery. He's 91 years old and he had open heart surgery. Can you imagine that? I didn't know he had a heart. He was the guy that Richard Nixon resigned to. I find that very interesting. We showed this at the beginning of the show, the resignation letter of Richard Nixon 40 years ago yesterday. Dear Mr. Secretary, in other words, Henry Kissinger, I hereby resign the office of President of the United States. Sincerely, Richard Nixon. Why wouldn't he resign to the vice president or to the Speaker of the House, who's third in power? But he resigns to the guy who runs all these globalist organizations that we've seen for the last 40, 50 years. Henry Kissinger at Bilderberg, at all these different organizations. He's got his hand in the pie at every single one of those. And, you know, we look at the crimes of Richard Nixon, as we pointed out earlier, this article from Outside the Beltway saying that public trust in government has hit new lows under Obama. They said prior to Watergate, the American public always trusted government. They thought that government could be trusted to do what was right always or most of the time. That is incredibly naive. But that was the situation up until Watergate. At that point, it went from more than half to 36%. Yet today, we see it has fallen to 13%, a record low from Obama. Because I think people realize that as bad as Richard Nixon was, and I'm glad to see him go, there was a lot involved with him being taken out. Of course, you could always say that that was a coup that was organized by some people. But he really was a corrupt individual. Of course, his vice president was handing out stacks of cash in his office. But look at Nixon's legacy, in case you think that we should vote for Republicans over Democrats because they're not as bad as Democrats always. We've got the EPA that he created, and now we see 40 years later how they're overreaching, going against, in one particular instance, this case where they're trying to expand their powers. They've got a rancher in Montana. I don't even call him a rancher. He's got 8 acres, and he put a pond on his 8 acres, and the water in that pond doesn't cross his property lines. It's just stuff that he's collected from rainwater, yet the EPA is now trying to regulate that. They're fining him $75,000 a day, this guy with 8 acres. And they then moved ahead after that. If that wasn't outrageous enough, they said, we're going to just take the money out of your bank account like the IRS does. Well, that agency, the EPA, was created by Richard Nixon. He gave us a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, which, again, was a massive overreach and intrusion of the federal government into the states to set speed limits. He gave us the war on drugs. He coined the term. Of course, it was Ronald Reagan and Ed Meese who really then turned it against the end users and started filling up our prisons to the extent that we had to let violent criminals out on the streets in order to keep these guys in with their mandatory minimums for having marijuana possession. He also, Richard Nixon, began transforming and transferring our economy to China, opening up China. We hear that as being a great initiative of Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon. And then, of course, there's wage and price controls that he put in. So when you think that everything is solved by getting a Republican, think again. You know, we even had this article that came up earlier about Mitch McConnell and how his wife sits on the board of a group that is working to kill the coal industry. It's not just Obama who says, if you want to build a coal plant, you can do that, but it's just going to bankrupt you. No, it's the wife of the minority leader who has already defeated a conservative opponent in the primaries. So now they've got full spectrum dominance. You can either vote for a Democrat or you can vote for a Democrat, Mitch McConnell. He says that he presents himself as defender of Kentucky's coal mining industry, and yet his wife, former Secretary of Labor Elaine Chao, sits on the board of directors of Bloomberg Philanthropies. She sits on the board of a Bloomberg organization that has put $50 million into Sierra Club's Beyond Coal Initiative, an advocacy effort with the expressed goal of killing the coal industry. This is coming from Yahoo. This is being reported on Yahoo News. Now, they want to retire. This is their specific goal. They want to retire a third of the nation's 500 coal plants by 2020 and replace the majority of retired coal plants, keeping coal in the ground of Appalachia. And so he talks about, and Bloomberg talks about, how coal is a self-inflicted public health risk. Well, you know what? You are taking away our only way to be self-sufficient in energy, or perhaps our best way to be self-sufficient in energy. I understand that there's applications for solar, and I like solar power because it's a way to get off of the grid. And I like to see the decentralization of power. But as far as the grid goes, these renewables like solar power, like wind, cannot provide the steady state levels of power that you need without massive amounts of storage, and we don't have that storage technology yet. They are too intermittent. So you got to have something, or else you're going to have no power. If you don't have coal, you're going to have no power, or you're going to be paying much, much, much more for your energy than you can afford. That's what's behind this. And of course, we see that now with Mitch McConnell. Good example of Richard Nixon. And yet, when we look at impeachment, what is it that we're talking about? We're talking about getting rid of corruption. It was earlier in the week that we had this article that was up by Colonel Pete Martino talking about corruption, how we had to purge people. And if you go back to the beginning of the Obama administration, back to 2009, there was a judge out of Houston, and this judge was quoted in this article by Colonel Pete Martino. He said, hopefully we won't have someone like Judge Samuel Kent, who went to prison on charges that he abused his power and lied in order to cover up sexual assaults on two women who worked for him. He told one of them, quote, I am the government. I'm the Lion King. It's good to be the king. I'm the Emperor of Galveston, the man wearing the horned hat and guiding the ship. Now, let me tell you what happened to that lunatic, okay? He was convicted in criminal court, but he only served 33 months. This was 2009. Obama had just taken office. The Congress was so reluctant to impeach this guy that they finally did it. He sent a letter of resignation once. They didn't accept the letter of resignation. They eventually did impeach him after he was already in jail. They finally got around to doing it. And then it went to the Senate. The Senate then visited this judge in jail. He offered a second letter of resignation, and they accepted that and then went back to the House and said, now that we've accepted his resignation, let's just stop the impeachment thing right now. And it ended. So he only served 33 months, and when they accepted his resignation, what they did was allow him to now draw a retirement plan for the rest of his life. That was what was at stake, impeachment versus retirement. That's the level of corruption that we have in the government, that they look out for their own no matter what. They tolerate that kind of criminal activity no matter what, and that goes all the way back to 2009. So when Boehner says he's not going to go after the president, I'm not surprised. It isn't because the president hasn't done things that exactly line up, as we pointed out time and time again, as many people pointed out, exactly line up with the articles of impeachment with Richard Nixon. You know, Richard Nixon was never accused of doing a burglary. What he was accused of was covering up the criminal actions of his subordinates, thereby making those criminal actions his own. He covered up and blocked investigations into criminal actions. And we've had the Obama administration do this over and over and over again. Yet they will not impeach him. They won't even impeach a delusional judge who brags about being the king, the Emperor of Galveston and the Lion King, and saying it's good to be the king, essentially quoting Mel Brooks out of the history of the world. You know, he did the Louis the 16th thing. They won't even impeach a guy like that. So how do we think they're going to move against someone that is really powerful like the president? Now, I want to switch and go back to ISIS, and we're going to do that right after the break. Of course, we had Alex Jones breaking down for us live in the last hour, as well as with a special report, what's really going on in ISIS. And I want to take a call from Tom in Dallas, and he's talking about how Marines have been training ISIS over there. So we're going to be right back. Stay tuned with that call.
Aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight here in the studio, and we've got several people who have been holding for quite a while. I want to try to get to everybody, that these four at least. I think we can get to Tom in Dallas, David in Austin, Mark in California, and Richard in Austin. I'll try to get hold of all of you in this segment. Let's go to Tom in Dallas. Tom, you had something about Marines training ISIS?
Yeah, David. If you go on the 24th, and I have 2 points. I have something after this one. If you go to the 24th MEU, which is the 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit, mm-hmm. on their website, it's been up for 2 years. Tell them that they've been in Jordan doing it. It's right there on the internet.
Wow. Wow.
And the second thing.
Are you in the military? Are you in the military?
I was in the Marine Corps 20 years ago, so I look at these web pages just to see what's going on. 24th News out of Lejeune, and then the 31st is out of Okinawa. They're the main ones, but they're composite units.
Okay.
But it's right there. Anyway, number two, this is something that's very simple, David, and I'm sure it'll be close to your heart. I can't believe anybody else hasn't thought of this up to now. Section 2 of the Constitution is the one that delineates the power of the president and the vice president, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of these agencies that we have problems with, the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, et cetera, are all under the executive branch. What if we have a constitutional convention to repeal Article 2 of the Constitution and then just have each one of the governors, when something comes up for what used to be the president's time, You just have to have 26 governors sign it. That way we eliminate the executive branch. We eliminate the IRS. We eliminate Homeland Security. All of the things that are violating our constitutional rights. I think we need to get a movement to repeal Article 2 of the Constitution.
I agree with you. I think that we have seen our Congress essentially abdicate all of its power over to these different bureaucracies because they now have the power to essentially write laws. They create the bureaucracy and then they give that bureaucracy the right to create laws, to have a police force, to have a quote unquote court system where you don't have jury trial, where you don't have the presumption of innocence, but they haul you in, they assess the fine, you're guilty until you prove your innocence to these different agencies, and it is totally out of control. Very good suggestion. Give us that site once more. You said that where we could see them training ISIS again? Because we have a bad connection.
It's the website of the 24th MEU, Marine Expeditionary Unit. Just look it up on Google. It'll come up. It has their little seal, and it'll tell everything they've been doing for 2 years. 24th MEU out of Lejeune.
All right, great. We've got it up on the site right now. Thank you for the tip. That's Tom in Dallas. Let's go to David in Austin. David, go ahead.
Hey, David, how are you? Hey, I have two things I wanted to hit on real quick. One of them is kind of unrelated to your topic today. There's a guy named Mark Passio. He has a show called What on Earth is Happening. He used to be a high priest in the Church of Satan. He's since left it and renounced it, and he has deep occult knowledge, way deeper than Mark Dice's knowledge of the occult and of secret societies. You guys should definitely have him on the show. His name is Mark Passio. The other thing I wanted to hit on is that here in Austin, we had a big rally against the Israeli government. You know, with all these liberals coming out to protest against the Israeli government, but where are these same people protesting when there's Christians being crucified and beheaded all over Syria and Iraq in the thousands? And it's just barbarous what's happening over there, but nobody is speaking out. Nobody seems quite as disturbed and terrified as they should be outside of a small group of libertarians. It just doesn't seem like the world's taken aback by it in the way it should be.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, these people, as Alex has pointed out, as we've said here repeatedly, these really are bad guys. They really are crucifying people. They really are killing people. They never use good people to accomplish their globalist objectives. Take a look at what happened in Nicaragua. They took out Panama. They took out Noriega, and then they put in their own guy, okay? And, they took out Torrijos. I'll get with it in a second. They took out Torrijos, then they put in Noriega, and then you hear them talking about strongman Noriega. Now, he was a bad guy, but they love to use these kinds of people so that when they want to remove that guy, they've got a long record of a rap sheet of what they've been doing. And so that's what they do. They do that with individuals. They do that with groups. They use one corrupt group, one group of terrorists to take out these people, and then they go in and declare war on that group, that second group of terrorists, and take them out, telling everybody the truth about them, saying this is a murderous group. They are crucifying people in the streets. Yet, who created this group? Who trained this group? Just as Tom was telling us just before that, they've been training ISIS for a long time. They've been training and posing with pictures of terrorists in Syria for a long time. That was what was going on in Benghazi. They were transferring weapons to these guys. Taking down Gaddafi, they have essentially turned all of Libya into a terrorist training ground. That's what's going on with our foreign policy. And unless people take a step back and look at this and realize what we're doing, we're not going to be helping anyone. It's the American government that is fomenting this chaos and these wars. And we are not necessarily going to help anything by riding in there on a white horse and starting to shoot even more people. We have to take a step back. We have to get our government under control. And we're not going to do that as long as we get scared into every war that comes along. Let's go to Richard in Austin. Richard, go ahead. Richard, are you there? Go ahead. You're live on air. Hey, Richard.
Good job.
Hey, Richard. Are you there? Okay, let's go to Mark in California. Mark.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing? You want to talk about filming the police. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Richard in Austin.
Oh, Richard. Okay, go ahead. You want to talk about rank and file military, you say. Go ahead, Richard.
Right, because you guys have done all you can do, really, to alert the world of what's going on. We all know what the backgrounds of the Dick Cheneys and Obamas are. We know their entire objective is to bring us all to our knees. But at the end of the day, sir, if we don't start demanding that all our troops who have decided to come home and commit suicide in front of their wife and kids, if we don't demand that they start standing up against the chain of command that put them to do all these things that they've been doing overseas, if we don't start that, now you guys do a good job of doing it, but the other callers have to do it, their family members got to do it. It's got to be a movement like the same one they had with the bonus army back in 1917 or wherever it was.
Yes, yes.
We have to start standing up and stop acting like children. I understand they're hurt. They're really hurt. You know, they're broke because they realize what they've been doing, like Pat Tillman discovered, was really inhuman stuff. But
there's a way to redeem that, isn't there? And, you know, we just had the anniversary of the Valkyrie plot to try to assassinate Hitler. That was back in July 20th. And when they reported on that in the news, they pointed out that now the German government uses that as an example to teach the German people that when you have a leader that gives you illegal orders, that gives you immoral orders, that tells you to do the wrong thing, you have a duty and an obligation to oppose that. Just as all of the American people have a duty and an obligation to oppose tyranny, to oppose a government that is breaking the law, that is violating people's rights, that is murdering people, that's what the Declaration of Independence was about. It lays that out. It's got four that clauses in it. It says, you know, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that governments are created to establish those rights, and that when government violates those rights, we have a duty and a right to alter or abolish that government. We have to look at our government and not fall into this Romans 13 mentality that, hey, if it's the government, we need to trust it, that it will always do the right thing, or that it's established by God if you're a Christian. I find it very encouraging to see that now only 13% of the people trust the government to always do the right thing. We should never be that naive about any institution. We should always be reforming these institutions, because whenever you've got a lot of power, you are going to draw people to that power. You're going to draw a lot of the wrong people to that power. Just as if you had a big stash of money, you're going to draw thieves to that stash of money. Well, when you put a lot of power in Washington, you're going to draw the wrong kinds of people who are enticed and seduced by that power, who will do anything to get to that power. We have to watch them like hawks. And that means all of us, not just the people who are in government, but especially the people in government. And if we cannot reform ourselves, if we've got a Congress who won't impeach judges who rape women, if we've got a Congress that won't impeach a president who drone strikes American citizens abroad without due process, who violates the laws, who spies on American citizens. That was one of the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon, that he used the CIA and other intelligence agencies to spy on his own citizens. That was nothing compared to what's going on with the NSA today. We have to be able to reform that. We have to step up and say we're not going to take it any longer. And I agree with you, but it's not just the people in government. It's the people outside of the government who have to get involved in this, who have to care enough to purge this corruption out of our government. Well, that's it for today. We're going to be back tomorrow at 11. Actually, Alex Jones will be here live in studio, 11 Central. Join us then.